Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1, brought to you by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Keep your car running newer, longer, loaded today. Peter King, Doug Gottlieb, TJ Hushmanzada. Joy Taylor is joining me on a Tuesday.
Good morning.
I can smell the grass this morning.
Football's back.
When I can smell the grass, and it's hot grass because we're going through a heat wave out here on the West Coast, it is football season. But I have to start, Joy, with this. LeBron's added a new show to his repertoire of shows. He is now doing a three-part documentary series on Showtime called Shut Up and Dribble. It's about LeBron, and it's got a little bit of politics in it. That's set to do in October. Yep, in October it is due to air. He is also doing a show on HBO in August called The Shop. And I'm not worried about the time these shows drain from him. I'm not worried about the energy these shows ask. He's not doing a 10-part series like Ken Burns on the Civil War. Other people will do a majority of the work. I am not in the least bit concerned about the time he would put in for these shows. What it once again shows is LeBron is an asset, and right now LA's number one asset, and people are lining up. Showtime, HBO, production companies, movie stars, Leonardo DiCaprio lining up to work with LeBron. And I am not in the least bit fazed by the time and effort these little projects will take. Oh, but I am concerned about symbolism, because symbolism matters. Here's my concern with LeBron now. He's battling Trump, HBO, Showtime, politics, production company, pizza chain, Clutch Sports, representing Ben Simmons, asked 2 weeks ago or 2 days ago or maybe 2 moments ago, would you think about running for president? And you do realize what is happening as all this is transpiring. LeBron is shrinking other players in the league. Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard, Klay Thompson. LeBron James would not be your teammate. He'd be your boss. Nobody wants to play with their boss. I'm a big fan of LeBron. But the basketball culture in America from AAU on is you the man. LeBron is creating a culture that if you play with him, you know man. Kevin Love averaged 25-13. He was a perennial all-star, an elite power forward. Playing with LeBron, he became his valet. Chris Bosh, first time, first ballot, absolute lock for the Hall of Fame. Playing with LeBron, he became the other guy. LeBron, the kids are outside. They want to play. You're looking at yourself flexing in the mirror. Why don't you join the kids outside? Michael Jordan waited primarily until his career was over. Kobe Bryant won an Oscar after he quit shooting jumpers. I'm all for business, and I don't think it gets in the way hours-wise of LeBron James. But symbolism matters. And while you're battling the president, everybody else is battling Darren Collison and Rudy Gay and their basketball players, and that's what they should be. We've seen what's happened to Tom Brady when he's gone non-football. We have the weakest New England roster and the worst chemistry between coach, owner, and quarterback in its 18-year run. I'm not anti-LeBron, you know I love him, and I'm not anti-business. But the reason the Golden State Warriors work is because Kevin Durant's pulled back and given time and the ball to Steph. And the reason Steph works, because he's come a little down, pulled down, less commercials, fewer shots, more about everybody. The reason the Warriors dynasty works is because it's communal. It's supportive. It's about us and we, not HBO, Showtime, Netflix, pizza chain, production company, Clutch Sports, represent Ben Simmons. Will you be president? It's all good, bro. And LA does this to people. It feeds their vanity. That's what LA does. It wrecks half the people. The other half make it, survive. And when I say survive it, I mean survive it. LA plays to your vanity. They build you up. You the man. And everybody in basketball culture in America wants to be the man. You used to have a high school coach that barked at you. It's not the way basketball culture in America works anymore. You have an AAU coach that flatters you. You used to have a college basketball coach for 3 or 4 years like Michael Jordan and Dean Smith, kept him under 20 points. Now you have a college basketball coach for a year, and he begs that you stay. You used to have an NBA coach. No shoot-arounds, practicing hard in the morning, flying commercial. Now you fly jets, private. And the basketball coach just hopes that the star player likes me. Paul George is a 5-time All-Star. He said, no thanks. Nah. Chris Bosh, in the end, was tired of it. Kevin Love, it was a struggle the entire time with LeBron. And I like the guy, but LeBron, symbolism matters. You win. You're the guy. You're the man. You are shrinking the profile of every player in the league. And this Laker thing, which I think will work, will not win titles and will not work to its fullest if you don't get another great player. And great players, ask Kyrie Irving, who hit the biggest shot in basketball a couple of years to win a championship for Cleveland. And 15 minutes later, nobody cared because they wanted to talk LeBron. And I like him. He's the best overall basketball player I've ever seen. Jordan was a better pure scorer. But symbolism in basketball's a thing. Shoe deals, a thing. Getting credit, a thing. Getting love, a thing. Adoration, a thing. You the man, a thing. With LeBron, you no man's becoming a thing. You know when you're driving on the freeway, somebody's got the brights on? LeBron, turn the brights off. Be one of us. We, for a second. Let me shift gears to this. People often say they want to date edgy, and be edgy, and hang with edgy. I don't like edgy. I am not edgy. I'm as edgy as a boiled egg. I am not into edgy. In fact, it's funny in my house. My wife's edgy. I'm not really edgy. My kids are edgy. I'm not really edgy. But a lot of people say they like edgy. They like the idea of edgy, but they don't really like edgy. ESPN, we're going to put that show on Barstool on our network. It's going to be, whoa, I'm not comfortable with Barstool. Whoa, 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 whoa. The Oscars. We're going to put Seth MacFarlane on. Seth MacFarlane is edgy. Whoa, you offended everybody. Whoa. The New York Giants for the last 4 years have never been comfortable with Odell Beckham. And there's a reason they've never been comfortable. They like the idea of being married to Odell Beckham. But they have been, and they've been uncomfortable. The New York Giants, in a city of stars, are the most boring great franchise ever. 4 Super Bowls. They even got the most boring Manning in the family. I mean, if you look at the history of the New York Giants, look at their stars. Mark Bavaro, Phil McConkey, David Tyree, Jeff Hostetler, Phil Sims. Anybody got an espresso? Even your stars are boring. Odell Beckham is everything the New York Giants are not. Flashy, crazy, unpredictable. I mean, if I say Odell Beckham and you start listing the things that come to your mind, one-hand catch, the boat, blunt, model and blow in a hotel room in Paris, peeing in an end zone, proposing to Annette, that's his brand. And by the way, the Dallas Cowboys probably comfortable with it. L.A. Rams probably comfortable with it. A lot of teams comfortable. Miami Dolphins comfortable with it. The New York Giants are an accounting firm in cleats. It is the most boring, conservative, great franchise in American sports. In New York, usually your stars are like Walt Frazier, Ruth, Gehrig, A-Rod, Mantle. They're stars, right? The New York Giants stars, even they're boring. Great, but boring. But the story today, they want to make him the highest paid wide receiver in the league. And then, gang, you're really in a marriage. Every year, Notre Dame says they love Brian Kelly, but his face turns purple as he screams at a quarterback, and they're uncomfortable with Brian Kelly. And the Oscars thought they wanted Seth MacFarlane until they had Seth MacFarlane, and then he was too much. And ESPN wanted Barstool Sports, and then they had Barstool Sports, and they don't like it. And the Giants, for 4 years, have been completely uncomfortable with Odell Beckham. And now the story is, we're going to marry Odell. This is like the most conservative family marrying Marilyn Manson. Good luck. Because the idea of edgy is one thing. Married to edgy, committed to edgy, long-term relationship with edgy is quite another. I love Perky Jerky. What makes it so great are all the unique flavors. They have a new variety pack, Home Run. A lot of options. Listen, life gets boring fast. Try a different flavor. Every game, special offer, 40% off all multi-packs. The best tasting jerky on earth, guaranteed. I can smell the grass. That means it's football season. This is something that was said yesterday. Everybody's talking about the Browns are going to be on Hard Knocks and how's it going to affect the team. And I don't really care about that. I don't think that's good for a team, but I don't think the Browns are going to be great anyway, so I don't think it's going to be the difference between, 10-6 and 6-10. I think this is a six-win team. And, I don't love Hard Knocks for teams. I don't love Baker Mayfield doing documentaries. Like, just do football before you're a rock star, just be a star, okay? But anyway, the head coach, Hugh Jackson, said something, and it was unintentional. He by no means was trying to be critical. He was by no means trying to say what he said. I've done this. You've done this. You unintentionally say something and the meaning of it comes out, lands differently for somebody else. He talked about Baker Mayfield not starting this year. And he said, listen, I've had two players here in the past who never played in the National Football League, and we put them out there and didn't do anybody any good. So why take a guy who we know is going to be in a situation, he's our future, and put him in that situation? Of course, the problem is he's comparing him to Cody Kessler and DeShone Kizer. Does he think number one pick Baker Mayfield is comparable to Cody Kessler, the number 93 pick, and DeShone Kizer, the number 52 pick? Let me ask you something. If the Browns had drafted Cam Newton number one, 6'6", 250, led Auburn to a national title, do you believe Hugh Jackson would have globbed them all together? Has there ever been a time in your life that you included Cody Kessler in a sentence with Cam Newton? Or 6'4", 228, Troy Aikman? Or 6'5", 230, Peyton Manning? This is what I've always said about Baker. He can play in the NFL, but he doesn't look, feel like a number one pick. He looks small. He's a two-time walk-on. Hugh Jackson came out and said, we don't want to play him initially because I've seen what happens when you put Cody Kessler out there. This is a number one pick. If Cam Newton, if Peyton Manning, John Elway, Dan Marino, 6'5", 230 guys were drafted number one, would you be lumping them into a sentence with Cody Kessler and DeShone Kizer, whose own college coach said, dude's not ready? I don't think this was intentional. I think it's the reality of the optics that Hugh Jackson sees Baker Mayfield, and he looks like Cody Kessler. He's 6 feet tall, 215, without a huge arm, can run around a little. Cody Kessler was a good high school basketball player. Remember when Sam Darnold this past Sunday, Sam Darnold was standing next to Baker Mayfield on that documentary, and what did I say? Which one looks like a franchise quarterback? Who looks bigger? Who looks bigger and stronger? Sam Darnold looks like a franchise quarterback. I saw a story yesterday. Sam Darnold's going to beat out Teddy Bridgewater and Josh McCown. They're already saying to Adam Schefter, yeah, he's going to be number one. Hugh Jackson inadvertently saying, you know, Baker, Cody Kessler, it's all the same thing. That's what he's saying. I mean, again, Cam Newton, say what you want. The smile, the look, the size, the arm, the athletic ability. Cam Newton walks into a room, you would not say, listen, I had Cody Kessler and DeShone Kizer here. I've seen what happens to them when they haven't played in the NFL. No, you'd say, have you seen Cam Newton? Have you seen John Elway? Have you seen Peyton Manning?
Well, because no rookies have played in the NFL. That's the whole point of the draft.
But if you're Peyton, if you're Cam, if you're Andrew Luck, if you're Carson Wentz, it's understood.
Right, but Baker hasn't been walking around in platform shoes this whole time. Everybody knew how big he was when they took him number one overall.
And this is what I've said. He doesn't look or feel like a number one pick. He looks and feels like Cody Kessler.
Well, what it looks and sounds like is this wasn't Hugh Jackson's choice for number one overall.
I mean, would you, when Von Miller came into this league, Ndamukong Suh came into this league, they look different than other players. Would you have compared Von Miller to the 93rd guy? You know, we like Von Miller, but, I started the 93rd pick a couple of years ago in his first year. It just didn't. Now, Von Miller, you don't make those comparisons. Ndamukong Suh broke into this league. You're like, yeah, he looks different than even the NFL guys. I'm telling you.
Hugh Jackson's talking about Baker Mayfield like he's been running around in a Scooby-Doo villain costume or something this whole time.
He just lumped him in with a couple of guys who are just guys. You just don't lump a number one pick in with guys. That's why he's a number one pick. Cody Kessler? You just put them in the same sentence. Nobody's ever put Cam in the same sentence. Andrew Luck in the same sentence.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Peter King, NBC Sports, was at Packers camp. He's been bouncing around the NFL. I was actually yesterday I was in the locker room. After the show, I go work out and stuff, and I was talking to a guy, and he said, God, there's so many stories this year in football. And he's like, there's the John Gruden story. There's the rookie quarterback stories. Carson Wentz comes back. Aaron Rodgers comes back. And I said, like an Andrew Luck. Like Andrew Luck was Carson Wentz 2 years ago. And then he got obliterated. And we don't know what Andrew Luck is. Well, Peter King was at Colts camp and talked to Andrew Luck recently. And here's the tape.
I think I see light at the end of the tunnel. And I know I'm not torturing myself in a sense. I don't want to dwell too much on the past, but I think I really struggled about being honest to myself about how I really felt and how things are progressing, which in turn did not allow anyone to help me in a productive, efficient manner. I'm a far cry from where I want to be, Peter. You know, I am, but I feel myself improving every day, and it's fun.
And with that, via the Coward Global Satellite Network, Peter King, NBC Sports, joining us, NBCSports.com, weekly Monday morning column. So I'm watching to talk to Andrew Luck. I defended Chris Ballard when he went heavy offensive line in the draft, but they just had a tackle retire. We it looks like when you watched him throw, Peter, you sat there and you watched his eyes, and you watch him, you can see if he grimaces. Like, what did you see? Did he look like he was in pain?
Not at all, Colin. He looked like you would never have known he was hurt if you just watched that practice and didn't know his history and didn't know that he hadn't played in a game in 19 months. But he looked absolutely normal. I think the biggest thing for him is how he's being managed. You know, normally in an average football practice in the summer, a quarterback's going to throw 100 balls. That includes serious warm-up throws and things. I mean, he threw 68. And so they're documenting every throw he makes. And Frank Reich, the coach, told me they want him in every practice that he throws to throw between 65 and 70 balls. And they were right on it that day. But the one other thing is, look, he's probably not going to feel perfect on opening day in 5 weeks. But I do think, I mean, there's no question in my mind he'll play opening day, and barring anything structural going wrong, he should play 16 games.
You know, I said to open my show today that a lot of people like Edgy. The Oscars thought they wanted Seth MacFarlane, and then they had him host it, and they got really uncomfortable. And my former employers thought they wanted Barstool Sports, and then they hired them, and then they got really uncomfortable. The New York Giants are an accounting firm in cleats. They are mostly conservative, not over the top. Even their stars, Phil McConkie, Mark Bavaro, have not been flashy players. Jeff Hostetler, Phil Sims. Well, I read this morning, they want to make Odell Beckham. They're going to go long term with Odell. I look at this relationship. The Giants brand and Odell's are the opposite. I think they've been uncomfortable for 3 years with him. What do you make of this? You're the highest paid guy. We're all in. Do you think in their gut they're still a little uncomfortable with some of Odell?
I think they were uncomfortable in the 80s with Lawrence Taylor at times. And he gave them reason to be uncomfortable. I covered that team in the mid-80s for 4 years, and they had some sleepless nights at the top of the New York Giants. I mean, they love Lawrence Taylor, the player. They were very worried about Lawrence Taylor off the field. And I think there's some of that with Odell. But I mean, look, here's the way I look at it. You know, if you are going to be great in the NFL today, you've got to take some chances. Everybody isn't a Boy Scout. And at this point, I think it's important that the Giants, barring any future incidents of stupidity by Odell Beckham Jr., I think they got to sign him.
We talked about Andrew Luck, and I think sometimes we forget with the emergence of Goff and Garoppolo and Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson, we just forget how good Andrew Luck was. Well, J.J. Watt hasn't played in a while. You were in Texans camp, and I know you remember just how devastating he was. There's all these young players now, and Von Miller's getting the cover of magazines. So in Houston, what kind of J.J. Watt are we going to see?
Well, you know, J.J. Watt over his four-year period when he was truly great, a transcendent player, 2012 to 2015, had more sacks in that four-year period than Lawrence Taylor ever had over a four-year period, than Bruce Smith ever had in a four-year period.
Wow.
And he was unstoppable, and he was also very versatile. He had three touchdown catches as a tight end. And so I go to camp and I'm looking for every sign, and I see the J.J. Watt that looks like he wants to rip my head off when we're talking. And I'm exaggerating a bit, but he was intense when we talked. And to me, I really think that his situation right now is that he knows he has been invisible for 2 years because of injury.
Yep.
And he knows now that, okay, it's getting to be just a memory of how great he was. And so he knows that, and he told me, hey, look, I've told my family, I'm not going to tell you, but I have my goals for this year. And I think he absolutely, his goal is to get back to NFL Defensive Player of the Year form. I mean, he's won it three times. He's won it, you know, more than the great players who play the game, like Reggie White at his position. So, and I just think he wants to get back to that level. There's no sign so far in Texans camp that he's not going to be able to play opening day and play a full load of downs.
That's exciting. Peter King joining us, NBC Sports, weekly Monday morning column, NBCSports.com, Football Morning in America, three-time National Sports Writer of the Year. He's got the Peter King podcast, which I listen to and is great. So, this is, by most standards, I watch a little bit of the preseason, but I'm not enamored with it. But I got to tell you, Peter, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, I cannot remember John Gruden. I cannot remember a preseason where there were more of these mysterious, enigmatic, hopeful stories. So, Baker Mayfield, what am I going to get here?
You know, I was at Browns camp last week, and Hugh Jackson pulled me off to the side after practice, and we were talking, and I've talked to Hugh many times about this subject and others about the quarterback position, and he said to me, and I quote, "I am not changing my mind." And, you know, about starting Tyrod Taylor, and Tyrod Taylor is going to be his guy, I think, barring something weird that happens, which it might. It's Cleveland. But I think what was interesting is he said to me that one day Baker Mayfield's going to thank me. And because I think some of the best quarterbacks ever, you know, basically have been in the freezer in that first year. Brett Favre didn't play. Aaron Rodgers didn't play. Carson Palmer in 2003 was the first pick in the draft, and the Bengals gave him a redshirt year. And I talked to Tim Couch last week, whose, you know, career is an example of what you shouldn't do
right
with a young quarterback. And he said, just patience, patience. You know, don't force this guy into the lineup. And I think Hugh Jackson realizes that, and I know this is going to sound strange, Colin, but even if it costs him his job, he's going to do the right thing for this kid.
Finally, Peter, you're in New York all the time. You have been at camp. But I saw a story yesterday. Shefty tweeted it that Sam Darnold could play. Now, I think Bridgewater's capable of playing. I thought Josh McNown last year surprised me, and he's also a great mentor. Gut feeling, Darnold, does he start week one of the regular season for the Jets?
Gut feeling, no. But again, they don't sell insurance for this kind of stuff. If he's the best guy, he's going to play.
Yeah.
Because I think they think he's precocious enough to learn everything and to play opening day. But look, every one of these teams is handling it differently. The number one pick in the draft is not playing right away. You know, the number three pick in the draft, Sam Darnold, could play right away. You know, Josh Rosen, I mean, Josh Allen, they're competing for the job. Josh Rosen probably starts the year on the bench, but Sam Bradford can't stay healthy for any length of time, so you never know. Every team is handling this differently. Personally, right now, I mean, it's going to sound silly. I think the Browns have the best idea.
Peter King, NBCSports.com. Great having you. Enjoy the camps, Peter. Love you stopping by our show.
Thank you, Colin.
You bet.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Getting very excited at Fox. We have the new Thursday night games. We've got great college football on Saturday, amazing NFL football on Sundays. And the Dallas Cowboys are the number one team in the country. And, of course, we have them at Fox because they're the NFC. I saw another story. My God. Dak Prescott, Cowboys passing game, still has a long way to go. Blah, 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 blah. And I read the story. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, a reminder. I whiffed on Dak. I thought he was a better version of Tebow. I have no problems at all saying it took me about week five, week six of the NFL season, his rookie year, to go, okay, the guy can play.
Week six?
Maybe week eight. It took me a while. I whiffed on him. I said I thought he was Tim Tebow, but a better version of Tim Tebow. I didn't like his throwing motion. Little dink and dack. Didn't blow me away initially. In the end, he had a great old line. Ezekiel Elliott, play action stuff. But I buy in because I think he's a leader, sturdy, mobile, smart. But when I read these stories, this is about the 28th in the last month that Dak is a concern for the Cowboys. Let me give you a list of Cowboy concerns. Okay, these are things that worry me about the Cowboys. Ezekiel Elliott can't stay out of trouble. His dad yesterday was leading the Urban Meyer rally. Oh, brother. Oh, brother. I'm worried about the whole Ezekiel Elliott family and immaturity. Number two, Sean Lee's hamstring. What there's left of it. When he plays, their defense is good. When he doesn't, their defense is like, you know, not good. And he gets hurt regularly. My third concern is their cornerback depth. They're young, so-so talented, weak at safety. I don't like their secondary, which is problematic because in the NFC you have Carson Wentz twice and now Alex Smith twice. And somebody's got to guard Odell Beckham. And there's Aaron Rodgers. And Kirk Cousins has great wide receivers. And the Rams have amazing offensive talent. And oh, by the way, here comes Jimmy Garoppolo, and I don't like their secondary. The third thing that worries me, situational coaching. Jason Garrett doesn't call the offensive plays. Jason Garrett doesn't call the defensive plays. I like him. He's not Sean Payton. He's not Bill Belichick or Andy Reid. He's not Sean McVay. But I do worry situationally. I always feel like Belichick is making every big decision in games. With Jason Garrett, I don't know if he's making any. And finally, here's a Cowboy concern. Jason Witten, 15 years, safety valve, caught everything. He's gone. And let me tell you something. Everybody pays attention to the deep threat. You know who quarterbacks throw more often to? Their safety valve. Jason Witten has been 15 years of an insurance agency. He covered everything. Anytime it was a third and four, he knew where the first down marker was. You threw the ball in his catching radius. He caught it, got down, got to end zones. Everybody falls in love with wide receiver. No, it's the safety valve guys, Julian Edelman for Tom Brady. I mean, don't get me wrong. The Randy Mosses are fun. They make it to the Hall of Fame. But it's that slot guy, that dependable tight end that you throw to and target 11 times and hopefully get to seven. So those things concern me. Does everybody remember that Dak Prescott saved the franchise? Does everybody remember what happened in 2016? Tony Romo got hurt. You were 4-12. And then the draft, you had the number four pick. You tried to move up to get Paxton Lynch. Now, I just want to say this again. You're 4-12. You had the number four pick. Jerry wanted Paxton Lynch. Have you heard lately from Paxton Lynch? His parents haven't heard from him. He has disappeared in the Rocky Mountains. Denver brought back Brock Osweiler. That's how bad it's been. You would be, if not for Dak Prescott, the only NFC team without a legitimate going-forward franchise quarterback. He saved your franchise. Just like undrafted Tony Romo saved your franchise and made you relevant. So when I read about the Cowboy concerns, Ezekiel Elliott, Sean Lee's hamstring, cornerback depth, situational coaching, Jason Witten's gone, those worry me. Also, the NFC, I don't remember a time in my life. I'm serious. I've been watching football for four decades. I do not remember a time in my life, not once, where every single team in a conference, AFC or NFC, had a quarterback. You know, when the Dolphins had Marino, New England couldn't quite figure out the quarterback thing. And then Buffalo couldn't. And then Buffalo got Jim Kelly, and the Jets couldn't figure out the quarterback thing. And Marino retired, and they couldn't figure it out. That's the way it works. The way it works in the NFL is there's usually one great quarterback in a division, one pretty good stable guy like Alex Smith and maybe a Phil Sims, and then there's another guy that's promising, and then there's a guy that can't play. Okay, Dallas, you would have been guy that can't play. Because Carson Wentz isn't going anywhere. Eli's around for two more, and Alex Smith can win a lot of football. Ever notice with Alex Smith, he wins everywhere he goes. He won in San Francisco. He won in Kansas City. He's going to win in Washington. He won in college at Utah. So these concerns about Dak Prescott, he's not even top five to me. Again, last 2 years, 22 wins. Only the Steelers and Patriots have more than Dallas. And that's with Jerry Jones making noise, Ezekiel making noise, injuries making noise, Dez making noise. They're going to be fine. You know, just because he's not a good fantasy quarterback. Sometimes I think this stuff is driven by fantasy football guy. He's not a great fantasy football quarterback. There's Russell Wilson. Russell's going to end up first ballot Hall of Fame.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
We do it every day at this time. Joy, we call it best for last.
After almost 3 hours, Colin apparently hasn't gotten to the point yet. Quit holding out on us, Cowherd. It's the best for last.
Well, we know that Tom Brady, Joy, has the most famous diet in the NFL, TB12.
Right.
But that's not like muscle building. He's trying to stay lean and healthy and live longer. But what about, we know now, we think we found the grossest diet in the NFL. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a defensive end who's talented, but they're trying to put weight on. They've put him on a 9,000 calorie a day diet.
Ugh.
Now that is 9 to 10 meals a day, 9,000 calories. He drinks 7 protein shakes per day, and that's just 10% of his diet. He had a quote here. When asked about 9,000 calories a day, he said, quote, "I don't really look at food like I like it anymore. I'm just eating, man."
That just sounds so sad.
Now, my staff knows how I eat. Because of what I do for a living, I cannot eat big meals during the course of my show or day.
Right.
Because, what is it, red blood count, your body crashes and you get tired. So I can't eat during my show. I can have half a cup of oatmeal in the morning, half a power bar, half an apple, and I just had 3 bites of soup. I would like to eat more. I'd love a big sub sandwich. I'm a picker, as John says.
You are. And you'll travel back to the table in the back.
Yes.
You are a grazer.
I'm a total grazer.
But you'll grab like a handful of Cheerios and then come back. That's it.
I could not tell you.
Now, do you actually put your hand in the Cheerios?
Yeah. Okay, so the point is.
That's an announcement to everyone that works here.
Okay.
So you're eating college Cheerios.
The point is, I don't have any idea what 9,000 calories is as we play this game.
Get ready to play the one game show guaranteed to make Tom Brady sicker than when he watches highlights from the last Super Bowl. It's time for Is This 9,000 Calories?
All right, Joy and I are playing. Let's go ahead, John.
Okay, so remember, this is a question if this is at 9,000 calories. So it's not an over-under situation.
Everybody watching right now, is this 9,000 calories?
30 cheeseburgers.
Okay, can I do just a little bit of math?
Go ahead.
30 cheeseburgers. Hold on, just a little math.
Now, so you're saying...
Would that be 9,000 calories?
It has to be exactly that.
Yeah, is that exactly 9,000?
So if I feel like it's over, I would say no.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
What are you going to say?
I'm going to say, I think it's over, so I'm going to say no.
I think it's under. John?
So you both don't think it's 9,000 calories?
No.
Right.
Wrong. 9,000 calories is 30 cheeseburgers.
Now just think about that. I think...
300 calories each. You know, you can do the math.
Oh, my God. 30 cheeseburgers.
I was thinking that, well, I guess it depends on where you're getting
cheeseburgers. I'm serious
from.
About this. I'm a grazer. I couldn't eat two in one day. If you give me a big cheeseburger at lunch, I couldn't eat one for dinner.
You can't have two cheeseburgers
in a day? No, I couldn't either.
Man. All right, next one. 13 large fries.
Oh, that's under. That's, isn't that
large fries?
Oh, God.
13 large fries.
Yeah, I'm going to go under.
Under.
You are both correct. That is only 6,200 calories.
So that's 70.
You would need to have 19 large fries to get to 9,000.
Okay. Is it 9,000 calories?
5 gallons of whole milk.
Oh, my God.
That is over.
Oh, my God.
That is over.
You're going over 9,000. Okay, so you think it's not 9,000 calories.
No, it's not.
Joy?
My hand just got sweaty at the thought.
Oh.
I'm gonna go yes.
Joy is correct. 5 gallons of whole milk is 9,000 calories.
Oh,
Colin, you
God.
Were wrong.
Even
a gallon of milk is 1,800 calories.
Even with a big box of Ovaltine, I couldn't do that.
Oh my God, so gross.
Okay, is 6 large pizzas 9,000 calories?
Yes.
No, it's under. I think that's... You think that's 9,000 calories?
Yeah.
I say no. I say it's probably about 7,000.
Okay, so... It is not 9,000 calories, but Colin, you were way off. It is 14,400 calories.
How many pizzas?
6 large pizzas. Large pizza is 2,400 calories itself.
I could easily get closer to eating 6 large pizzas in a day than 30 cheeseburgers. I could eat 2 pizzas in one day. If you gave me a pizza in the morning, like that's the first thing I ate,
a whole pizza to start your day.
I would be sick.
A large
pizza? You would instantly
pizza?
Go back
no,
to
but
bed.
I would just go to the steam room. I'd work out. I'd do sit-ups.
There is no
and
amount of workout you
times.
Could do to burn off a large pizza for
right.
breakfast. Okay, is 67 scoops of vanilla ice cream 9,000 calories?
It's a face.
No.
It's
under.
Face full of pimples. Ice cream's terrible for your skin.
I did not know that. So she says no, Colin?
I think that you did a very odd random number. I say for the first time that is 9,000 calories.
Colin, you are correct. Joy, you are wrong. 67 scoops of vanilla ice cream is apparently bad for your skin and 9,000 calories.
Mind you,
each scoop, 134.
Noah Spence has to eat this every day.
Okay.
Not
is 74 hot dogs with buns 9,000 calories?
Yeah, that's about it, because it's double hamburgers. I'd say yes.
You know that I despise hot dogs, right?
Oh, do you really?
Yes. Despise.
Most of them are made by from floor mats, so I understand that.
How many?
74.
74 with buns.
Yeah.
I'll go yes.
Yeah, that feels like a yes to me.
Colin, you were very sure, but you are very wrong. That is 20,128 calories.
So basically, if you ate like 30 dogs, you'd be closer.
The reason we use 74, by the way, was because that's what Joey Chestnut ate to break the world record.
Yeah, but
so
he ate up an hour later.
20,000 calories.
All right.
Okay, last one.
Last one.
1,500 celery sticks. Is that 9,000
no,
calories?
No, that's not even 1,000 calories. Celery sticks are the only thing you can eat and lose weight.
I love celery
so
sticks.
So do I. Especially when you put cream cheese in them.
Oh, my God.
The best.
My favorite snack.
In the world.
These
it's
are
so
without
good.
Cream cheese, FYI. Just rant
yeah,
1,500 celery sticks.
The cream cheese kind of feeds the point of the healthy snack, but it's delicious.
Way below 9,000 calories.
It's 1,500?
Yep.
I'm going to go under on that.
I like, Colin, when you are very sure about your answer because you are always wrong. 1,500 celery sticks is 9,000 calories. 6 calories per stick.
Of what? It's water.
That's why it's only 6 calories.
I think that one's wrong. I think I'm right on that one.
I feel bad for him.
So
I mean, it's completely taken the joy of eating away.
Which one of these would you not even come close?
A lot of them.
I feel like 5 gallons of milk is
5 gallons
really
of milk
tough.
Is the furthest off I would be.
Yeah,
I could not put down a glass
you know,
of milk.
My family is a non-milk family. I'm not going to get into the theory behind it because we could have dairy companies as a sponsor. We do eat cheese. We don't drink
milk. I eat yogurt. I love cheese.
I do coconut milk now a little bit.
Yeah, I do coconut or almond milk.
You're now you were an almond guy.
I'm an
actually,
almond
you were
milk
soy,
guy.
then almond. Now you're to coconut
I'm
now.
Back and forth.
Okay.
I did soy, but it's got, somebody told me, a lot of estrogen.
It does.
So I am already very much like candles and artwork. So I wanted to get a little more rugged.
Yeah, more testosterone.
Yeah. And so
you went with almond milk?
I went with almond milk over soy milk because I felt I started to like fabrics.
Almonds are good. They're good, strong, you know, nut. You started like fabrics?
I'm just making crap up. So anyway, I just wanted to be, you know, sports guy.
Right. Well, you should get on that 9,000 calorie diet.
So I start now. Now I drink almond milk and play with fireworks. And I feel just more masculine. So.
That is an unbelievable
I go
diet.
To Home Depot. Sometimes I just hang out by the hammers and stuff. I just.
Just get a little dust on your shoes.
Yes. Joel Klatt's on the show tomorrow.
Awesome.
Very excited for that. I don't do really a top 10 in college football, but I will tell you we'll have, you know, my gut feeling Urban Meyer survives. They suspend him for a game. The media is outraged. They start calling him Urban Liar. Ohio State wins 11 games. I mean, their first two schedule games for Ohio State is like Oregon State, and they'll win by 100. Rutgers, their first tough game is against TCU, which is, they'll be favored by a touchdown. It's in Dallas. That'll be a, you know, they'll be favored to win, but that'll be a, Gary Patterson's a great coach, good defense. But by and large, I think we're going to find out. Joel Klatt will have more on that tomorrow. My guess is Urban Meyer survives on this stuff. It's just, unless there's some bombshell that comes out. I thought he had a really bad press conference. He looked really bad. He got caught lying over and over and over and over. Had to retract some of it in a PR statement, but I think he survives. I will say something's happening in college football, which is to me is a really good thing. College football is at its best when it's not regional, when it's national. That's why the NBA and the NFL, we talk about them a lot on our show, Joy, they're national. People in Buffalo can talk about the LA Chargers. People in LA can talk about the Houston Texans. Colts fans will watch the Packers. Packer fans will watch the Saints. Baseball's gotten very regional. College football, to me, is in danger of becoming very regionalized. Clemson-Bama, Bama-Clemson, Clemson-Bama. I think this year, Texas is good. The Miami Hurricanes are good. USC could be good. Northern teams are really starting to. Michigan's good, Penn State's good, Wisconsin's good, Ohio State's good, and Notre Dame's good. That's good for the sport. All right, we're done. That's it. We're back tomorrow. Speak for yourself later today. Joel Klatt stops by. More on Odell Beckham. Thanks for watching us in LA. It's The Herd.
What do the wise guys wear? I get asked that from time to time. The answer is the new gear from the herdnow.com merchandise store. We are now officially open for business. We have all the apparel diehard Herd fans need to represent the show. Go to theherdnow.com. If you don't, that's a you problem. And that's a you problem is one of our shirts. Check it out. Theherdnow.com. Theherdnow.com store is open for business today.